If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone, welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. I am your host, Jacob Reimer, and college basketball is fully back. We had the Champions Classic last night, blockbuster matchups, thrilling games, as a matter of fact. Kentucky-Michigan State was the opener, and then the main event was Kansas and Duke, and I don't know why I said Kentucky twice there, but Kansas and Duke was the main event, and both of them were thrillers. Was up late last night because Duke and Kansas went deep into the night because Michigan State and Kentucky went to double overtime. There was a lot of questions coming into this game about the Michigan State play because of how they hung with Gonzaga, only lost by one on a ship. Only lost by one on the aircraft carrier to Gonzaga, who is the second overall team in the country right now. And a lot of questions about them that we're going to get into later here in the podcast. But first, we're going to do a Champions Classic reaction. A lot of questions about Michigan State coming into this one. Is it going to be a fluke because they're playing on a ship? You got to worry about the wind, all the lighting, the depth perception, all that. You're back in the gym now. Kentucky almost fully healthy. They got Shibwe back last night. They got Xavier Wheeler back last night. This Kentucky team is very, very deep. A lot of people have them in the Final Four, making a run this year for how deep they are. And last night, Michigan State showed us that the game on the ship was not a fluke. The Spartans are legit. Tyson Walker and AJ Hogard will take them a long way because of the guards. Their guards are phenomenal. I mean, look what they did against Gonzaga. They controlled the pace of the game. They kept Michigan State in it because they were outplaying Gonzaga's guards. That's all it took for Michigan State to hang with Gonzaga, and that's what kept them in this game against Kentucky. Kentucky, they'd go on a little run to try and pull away a little bit, and then Tyson Walker, AJ Hogard, they made a big play and kept them right in it. Joey Hauser was brilliant. He had 23 last night for the Spartans. Malik Hall, he is a difference maker. He is a mismatch problem for any defense in college basketball. He can do just about anything. Had two dunks to close out or to send it to overtime and send it to double overtime. And Michigan State ended up going on to win against Kentucky in double overtime in Indianapolis. This Michigan State team, they are very underrated coming into this year. There was a lot of talks about, even though they lost to Gonzaga, they still got some votes into being in the top 25. I was thinking, man, this could be the best two-loss team in the country right now. We might see the first two-loss ranked team in the AP Top 25 in the first 2 weeks of the season. But they won last night, so they are definitely, against the fourth-ranked team in the nation, they are definitely going to be ranked starting next week, barring any upsets, as we've already seen a billion upsets so far. But Michigan State, big win last night. Tom Izzo was just unreal, mastermind, just put on a coaching clinic last night in the win. The plays that he was running late down the stretch, getting those big buckets that they didn't get against Gonzaga, they got them against Kentucky and came out with an upset. Now let's talk about Kentucky here. Oscar Shibwe is back, 22-18 in his first game back. That is unreal. He was just wrecking all sorts of havoc, creating so many problems. They could not contain him. Michigan State could not contain him. And this is the thing about Gonzaga too. We'll get into that later. But Kentucky and Gonzaga on Sunday. Stay tuned. Be on the lookout for that. But Shibwe is back. Played limit restriction a little bit. He ended up fouling out, and that's ultimately what hurt Kentucky, was him going out of the game, taking him away on the defensive end. They gave up lobs, alley-oop dunks, and they just couldn't do anything for rim protection and getting that second, limiting the second chance opportunities in that second overtime when Sheboy fouled out. So he needs to be on the floor as much as possible. He needs to be smarter and understand that even though he is the player of the year, which I'm surprised that he didn't get the benefit of the doubt because he is the player of the year, reigning Wooden Award player. He got so many fouls called on him, but he's got to be smarter in those situations, 100%. I will say this right now about Oscar Tshiebwe. I really do think that we are seeing just the second player ever to repeat as player of the year. Coming first one since Ralph Sampson. You don't get too many player of the years coming back for another season. This Kentucky team is on a mission. Oscar Tshiebwe is on a mission to win a national championship. And reigning Wooden Award player of the year, Ralph Sampson was the last one to do it. Tyler Hansbrough came back after he won it, but ended up winning a national championship, didn't win Wooden Award player of the year. But Oscar Tshiebwe, after what he did last night to Michigan State on a minutes restriction, I really think that we are seeing just the second player to ever repeat a player of the year. 22-18, he did play, like, I mean, he had at least 22-15 in regulation. He got three more rebounds in overtime, ended up fouling out, and ultimately that's what hurt Kentucky. But he did this 22-18 on a minute restriction, 22-15 in basically the whole game regulation. I don't know how, after seeing what he did, you can't say that we aren't watching the second player to repeat player of the year. There's a lot of season left. I know this could be an overreaction, but from what I saw last night, I'm confident that I can see Oscar Tshiebwe winning the Wooden Award again this year. Is Coach Cal the problem for Kentucky? Right now, yes. He relies on so much talent. That's all he relies on. He just recruits big and doesn't do anything with them. We're looking at the second coming of Coach K. He's got a good class coming in next year with four guys that are ranked inside the top 10, the top two players in the class coming to Kentucky next year. It could be his last year if they don't do anything crazy. They just got bounced by St. Peter's last year when a lot of people had them winning the national championship. This Kentucky team is very, very deep, and it's not being used the right way. Coach Cal got outcoached by Tom Izzo last night, 100%. There was so many times that Tom Izzo called a timeout, drew up a great set, got a key bucket, and Coach Cal didn't do that. I don't think you see a lot of coaches do that. Roy Williams never did it, but I mean, look where he's at now. Hall of Fame, well loved in the college basketball community, and he went out on top. And Coach Cal, there's a lot of buzz around him with how he's recruiting, potentially maybe only have a few years left, especially after what Jay Wright did at such a young age for him. I think that Kentucky is in trouble with Coach Cal as the head coach right now because he just relies on his talent to go and make a play. Kentucky is very talented. They are very deep. They got a guy averaging 20 points a game right now coming off the bench, Antonio Reeves, just a flat-out scorer. Casson Wallace is a great wing player for them. Xavier Wheeler, he just orchestrates the offense. And you got the reigning National Player of the Year, Oscar Tshiebwe, down low. And he's getting healthy. So, yeah, he's definitely got the talent, but what's he doing with it? They just lost to an unranked Michigan State team last night who did hang with Gonzaga. A lot of questions around them seeing if they were legit or not. Well, any team that's coached by Tom Izzo, they're legit. Coach Cal got out-coached last night. Tom Izzo put on a clinic in front of Coach Cal and all of America, all of college basketball, showing that Michigan State is no pushover this year. Kentucky, they have some flaws, and it's the coaching. So now we're going to move on to the second game, the main event, the blockbuster, sixth-ranked team in the country versus seventh-ranked team in the country, Kentucky. Why do I keep doing that? There's so many K's. That's one K that's not out there is Coach K. But it was Kansas and Duke. The reigning national champs beat my beloved Tar Heels in the national championship last season. And they're back to try and repeat. No team has repeated since the 06-07 Florida Gators. And that was with Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Billy Donovan was the head coach. Kansas, this Kansas team, they are definitely good enough to repeat. They reloaded. They aren't rebuilding. They lost Ochai Agbaji. They lost Christian Brown. They lost David McCormick. They are not rebuilding. They are reloading. Jalen Wilson was tremendous last night against Duke. They couldn't stop him. He was just getting anything he wanted, was just getting to the rim at will. He had 25 points last night, which is just a phenomenal leader for this Kansas Jayhawks team. That's why he came back. Work on his game a little bit, develop, bring along these younger guys that Kansas brought in their good recruiting class, and make a run at trying to repeat it. And I think that they are definitely good enough to do that. They also brought in Kevin McCollar. He had 12 points last night, was knocking down some big threes. And Grady Dick, freshman, get used to this guy's name. He's got a quick jump shot, and he can score. He scored like, he went on a 7-0 run himself in the last 3 minutes of the game that allowed Kansas to come back and take a lead and pull it out and pull away. Ended up winning by five. And he had three. He made a three. He got a layup, and he had another spectacular layup that he did with the right hand on the left side, heavily contested, somehow got it to go, was just making big play after big play. And as a freshman, if I'm a coach and you see your freshman doing that, that is awesome. Your eyes are lit up. Like, you want to see your freshman succeed. Grady Dick is going to be a really good player in college basketball this year because of the way he can score the basketball. DeJuan Harris last night that is the true definition of a point guard. 6 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds. They lucked out with DeJuan Harris because this guy is a true point guard. He gets the ball to his scorers. He gets it to Jalen Wilson. He gets it to Grady Dick. He gets it to Kevin McCollar. They didn't even have MJ Rice last night. And I think he's going to be a really good player for this Jayhawks team when he gets healthy. But they looked really good, especially on the defensive end. There was a there was a sequence in the game last night. Duke had a leak out layup, and DeJuan Harris came out, pinned the guy off the backboard, came back. Derek Lively went up for a dunk. He got blocked, and then loose ball everywhere. Kevin McCollar is the only guy laying out on the floor for it. Kansas gets the ball, and they go down. They end up turning it over, but it was just an electric sequence. It was so cool. That's what I mean. This team, they may not have like the scores that they had last year with Ochai Agbaji, Remy Martin, Christian Brown, David McCormick down low, but this team gets after it on the defensive end. They will stop you if they need to get a stop. I mean, they went on like a 10-0 run, a 10-2 run to finish the game last night. Ended up winning 69-64, and they got the win. In Indianapolis, they knocked off John Shire in his first true test as a head coach. Took over for Coach K, and Kansas looked really, really good. I'm excited for this Jayhawk team. They still need to get a inside presence. It's going to be tough finding somebody like David McCormick to come in and create that inside presence, but they need that to help open up, to continue to open up the play on the outside. They've got the athletes that they can all score on all three levels, basically. They got a tremendous point guard in DeJuan Harris. That's all you need is a good guard play. And they have great perimeter play. But getting an inside presence will be huge as well. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Duke. John Shire taking over for Coach K. This was his first year, his first true test against the Kansas Jayhawks without Bill Self, by the way. And it's obvious that Coach K is not out there anymore. They are not getting the same treatment that they did when Coach K was there. They got all these little cheap calls because Coach K would complain. They're not going to listen to a guy who's in his 30s screaming at you, who looks like he's still in his 20s, looks like he's still in college. They're not going to listen to you. The officials just looked at him and walked away. That's all they were doing. They weren't listening to him. They're not going to get the same treatment this year. But what is limiting Duke right now is that they are not healthy. Dariq Whitehead's still out. Derek Lively is coming off of injury right now. Kyle Filipowski, though, he is really good. I like him a lot. He can score on all three levels. He's really big, really long, can rebound, block shots, can just flat out score the ball too. John Shire's first commit in this class was Filipowski. What's going to be helpful for Duke is that they are pretty deep. They just need to get everybody comfortable in the rotation. Having Jeremy Roach back is huge because they needed that veteran leadership, especially at the guard position. You get a good guard that's a veteran coming back. Jeremy Roach, if he doesn't play the way that he did in their Final Four run last year, Duke doesn't get to the Final Four. And they had a chance to win it. They had a chance to win it and get to the national championship game and potentially beat Kansas. But Carolina's guards outplayed Duke's guards. Throughout the whole tournament, though, Jeremy Roach was playing tremendous. And he's continuing it into this year. He's looked pretty good. One of the best point guards in the country. He had 16 last night. He needs to continue to score like that, but he also needs to continue to create for others and rack up the assists. He hasn't been, the past 2 years that he's been at Duke, he hasn't been the main scoring option. Once Dariq Whitehead gets healthy and he gets out there, you got Mark Mitchell, you got Josh Proctor, you got Filipowski, Derek Lively. He's going to have options around him that he can feed him. But right now, he needs to continue to score and also up his assists a little bit. He still did a really good job at creating for others. He only had one assist. I mean, 16 points, one assist. Yeah, that definitely needs to increase throughout the season once Duke gets healthy. So look out for them. I think they're still just trying to figure themselves out, you know? They got a new head coach, basically a new roster, but they get that every year. They're just still trying to figure themselves out, and they need more guys to continue to step up and present themselves as a lethal scoring option other than Jeremy Roach, because he can be taken away if nobody else is stepping up. I like Filipowski. Like I said, he had 17 and 14 last night, was 1 of 6 from three, so he's not afraid to shoot it from deep. And you got Lively coming. He's trying to find his rhythm into this after coming off injury. So yeah, it's all going to be on Jeremy Roach and how he can bring this team along. And he needs to bring them along, up his assist stats, create for others, and they will be in good hands. All right, should North Carolina fans push the panic button? I'll tell you right now, I'm a North Carolina fan. I'm not pushing the panic button. Yeah, they're the number one team in the country. They should look a lot better than what they do look like right now. But they are struggling. Armando Bacot is not what he was last year when he got all those double doubles. I think he's still dealing with a lingering ankle injury. But he looks kind of sluggish to me, honestly. He's not getting his double doubles. They're not feeding him down low, but it's because teams are trying to take him away. They know that Carolina has great guards, but they've always been known for having a dominant rebounding presence. Bacot, you go back a couple of years, Garrison Brooks, Daron Sharp, Walker Kessler. You can go back further than that. Luke May, Kennedy Meeks, Isaiah Hicks, Bryce Johnson, Tyler Zeller, John Henson. They've had all these great bigs that can flat out rebound. Tyler Hansbrough. I mean, they've they've always been known for their rebounding, getting those second chance opportunities, and that's what they've thrived on. They are actually getting out-rebounded in some of these games. That is not a good thing for Carolina. But it also hurts when you really only have one true rebounder, and that's Armando Bacot. You look at the 2017 National Championship team, they had two, maybe three guys that you had to try to keep off the glass. Tony Bradley coming off the bench, Kennedy Meeks, Isaiah Hicks. And they were tough. It's tough to stop two guys. Pete Nance has to be a factor rebounding. He had a tremendous game last night against Gardner Webb before he fouled out. Was finally giving Carolina fans a taste of what he's supposed to be like. And I'm excited for the elevation of Pete Nance to keep growing, keep expanding his game, stretching the floor. But he needs to be a much better rebounder. Once they get Jalen Washington back, that's going to bring in another rebounder for them. Puff Johnson's coming along. So, yeah, Carolina's not even completely healthy right now. They're still 3-0. They're still the number one team in the country. But what they've always said about number one teams in the country, yeah, number one teams in the country, the top teams, you're supposed to blow out these cupcake teams. I think that they're getting top-tier teams in the mid-majors that, like, are going to, all they get is if they win their conference championship, they're in the NCAA tournament. I think they're playing those types of teams that are going to compete at getting into the NCAA championship tournament. And so that's good for them. But they're going to get their best shot from everybody. That's a fact. They're going to get their best shot, the other team's best shot. So it's going to be tough. They're trying to keep Carolina off the glass, and they are. Caleb Love has been phenomenal. He's averaging like 20 right now, or close to it. RJ Davis, he is the nucleus of this team, though. If he goes, they go. He's arguably the best point guard in the country. I'm pretty sure he had 10 rebounds last night. 12 points, 10 rebounds. And they won by 6. If the guards can rebound, this is the best backcourt in college basketball. There's no question about it. Michigan State's got good guards. Kentucky's got good guards. Gonzaga does not. Houston has really good guard play. But RJ Davis and Caleb Love together, they are a really, really good backcourt. They started out slow last year. Look what they did. They went on to the national championship game, was one rebound away from winning the national championship. All came back, all had that same goal in mind. But you also got to think, though, they're getting later in their college careers. Some of these guys are trying to make it to the league. Caleb Love is especially one of those guys. RJ Davis has probably got another year in him at Carolina and then try to test the waters, try to go to the NBA. But Armando Bacot, he's trying to get to the league. He hasn't been himself. He hasn't been the preseason ACC player of the year that we were all expecting, the first-team All-America. Caleb Love has been what we are expecting to be. He can flat-out score. He can create. He can rebound. He's an NBA point guard. But he cannot let his ego get in the way. Yeah, he wants to get to the league, but he's also got to put the team first. And the main goal of why all these guys came back this year was to win a national championship. He's got to put that aside. His stats and his play will come if they go, if he focuses on the team goal. Look what happened last year. They focused on trying to get to the national championship and win a championship, and he was averaging like 25-plus on their national championship run. So the stats are going to come for Caleb. I even got a $5 future bet on him to win the Wooden Award. And he's looking like he can contend for it right now. He's played tremendous. But he's got to put the ego aside. Armando Bacot's got to get healthy. And whatever he's got going on with him. And just be the monster that he was. I'm waiting for them to get their first loss. I'll admit, I don't think they're going to go undefeated. I mean, they only beat Gardner Webb by 6. I don't think they're going to go undefeated. Honestly, I would not be surprised if they get docked of the number one next to their name and they put Houston up there, because Houston has looked really good. And I'd be happy with it, because there's so much pressure on this Carolina team right now that they are putting pressure on themselves to be the number one team in the country. They're forcing shots, they're forcing passes, turning the ball over, being lazy, because they have the number one spot right now. And they're not playing like number one team in the country right now. Teams are saying they're fraudulent. Not teams. People are saying they're fraudulent. And I don't think they are. They just got to get going a little bit. They just got to figure it out. They'll get in the rhythm. They'll get healthy. Puff Johnson's supposed to be back next week. He was suited up last night. Wouldn't be surprised if I saw him a little bit on Sunday, but he's supposed to be back fully for the PK 85. So once his team gets healthy, I think they'll be pretty good. They're deeper than what they were last year. Hubert just has to know to use his bench a little bit more. What is limiting Gonzaga? The Zags. It's 100% their guard play. They really haven't. That's what's been their limiting factor all these years, trying to get over the hump and win that national championship. They had it a few years ago with Jalen Suggs, but they ran into a defensive and offensive juggernaut in Baylor who had even better guards than Gonzaga did. And they haven't had a good guard since. They have not had good guard play. They had Andrew Nimhard last year, but he's gone and into the NBA. Now all they got is Drew Timmy. He's just been a monster for them. He was a dominant force for the Zags against Michigan State. What got them back in it was his play and his energy lifting Gonzaga up. But the guard play has to be better if Gonzaga wants to succeed, get over the hump, and win a national championship. Nolan Hickman, Hunter Salas, Julian Strother, Razier Bolton, they have to be so much better. They have to make shots on the outside. They have to create for themselves. They have to take some pressure away from Drew Timmy. Because Drew Timmy, yeah, he's one of the best players in the country. Second, if not the best player in the country. He's going to get his, but if the guards are limiting and not being consistent, teams can just double Drew Timmy and let the guards beat them. I mean, Michigan State, the guards outplayed Gonzaga. They outplayed Gonzaga's guards on the ship. 100%. They're in for a tough test tonight. They got Texas at Texas. And Texas has way better guards than Gonzaga. Marcus Carr, Tyrese Walker from Iowa State. It's going to be tough for this Gonzaga team to hang with Texas tonight because of the guard play. And Texas is physical. They're in the Big 12. You're coming to a Big 12 environment tonight. It's going to be tough for Gonzaga. I think Texas wins this game tonight, honestly. They've got the guards that can do it. Their guard play is going to dominate Gonzaga's guard play, and they're going to win. And it doesn't get any easier for Gonzaga either. And that hurts them a ton because, yeah, they're going to get into their conference play, and they're just going to roll through it, steamroll through the West Coast Conference. But, so they play Texas tonight, Kentucky on Sunday, a neutral site, but still up in Spokane. Then they play in the PK 85, and a potential matchup with Duke is waiting for them in the championship of their bracket. Then they play Baylor on December 2nd at Baylor. That's not going to be easy either, because Baylor is really good. Their guard play is insane as well. One of the best in the country. And then they play Bama on December 17th. And that's not going to be an easy game either, because Bama's pretty good, an underrated team in the SEC. The guards for Gonzaga have to figure it out quick, that they need to be better and they need to be consistent in these big games especially. Yeah, these teams are better than Michigan State, and they only beat Michigan State by one. If Gonzaga is going to want to run the table, win a national championship, get over that hump, they have to do it now in the non-conference because of the conference that they are in. They don't play anybody leading up to March. They beef up their non-conference so that they can prepare themselves for the tough play, but then they get out of it for 2 months before the NCAA tournament. These are no pushover teams. Kentucky, they play on Thursday against a cupcake, and then they head up to Gonzaga, potentially back at full health. It's going to be an intriguing matchup between Shibue and Drew Timmy and how Timmy does against a true big, the best big in the country, in Oscar Shibue. But the main factor, like I've been saying for Gonzaga, is their guard play. We all know the guards win games in March. Right now, they do not have the guards that can win games in March. You look at last year, Caleb Love, RJ Davis. That's what got them to the national championship. Remy Martin, Ochai Agbaji, Christian Brown. That's what won Kansas the national championship. Colin Gillespie. That's what got Villanova to the Final Four. And if they weren't healthy, they could have gave Kansas a run for their money. Miami with Isaiah Wong got them to the Elite Eight. Tyrese Walker from Iowa State got them to the Sweet 16. Like, you look at all these teams that had really good guard play that made a run last year. Duke with Jeremy Roach. If Jeremy Roach doesn't play the way he did last year, Duke doesn't get to the Final Four. I think they lose to Arkansas. I think they lose to Texas Tech if Jeremy Roach isn't playing the way that he was. The guards matter. Yeah, it's the year of the big right now for how many bigs that are coming back in college, that came back in college basketball. But it always has and it always will be on the guards. The guards win games in March. And right now, Gonzaga does not have the guards that can win games in March. It's always been that way for the Zags. That's why they can't get over the hump. Tune into that game tonight, 9:30 Eastern time on ESPN. Big blockbuster matchup right there. I'm taking Texas. I think they're up to -2.5. At least it was on Barstool. On FanDuel earlier when I looked, it was by a half. It's good odds to take, I think. I like Texas's guard play. I like their physical nature down low that's going to bang with Drew Timmy. Drew Timmy gets in foul trouble, Gonzaga's in trouble. It's game over. So we'll see. We'll see what the Zags can do tonight in that tough Big 12 environment. It's going to be fun. That's what we live for, is these blockbuster matchups early on in the season. So that's all I got for you guys today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. College basketball is back, and it's awesome. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.